We've been teaching for the last three Sunday nights on the Holy Spirit, and it's all because Simon poked himself in the eye with a straw. That's how this whole thing started. And so if you're enjoying it, thank Simon. If you're not enjoying it, blame Simon. So that's how this all got started. And so the last two Sunday nights, which I did not know I would be sharing, I did think I would be sharing tonight, but I didn't anyway. I've been talking and looking at the beautiful person of the Holy Spirit, how precious he is, how wonderful he is. The glory and the beauty and the mystery of God is that we serve the Lord God Almighty, who is one. The Lord is one. And yet in that one God, there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It's mysterious. And some people say, well, that's just ridiculous. No, not really. You're three persons too. You're body, soul, and spirit, and you're one person. You're one person, but you have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit, and so it's not that crazy. There are ways that we can kind of think that through sometimes. I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a brother. How can I be all three of those things when I'm me? Well, I am. And so there is just this wonderful, wonderful truth that we have God our Father, and we have God the Son, the Lord Jesus, who walked on this planet, God in the flesh. And we have God the Holy Spirit, who is literally here with us right now. The very exact same Holy Spirit that we read about in the book of Acts. He's not changed. He's not altered. He's not shifted in any way. He is still who he is because he has been who he is forever. And that precious Holy Spirit is here with us, and he lives in us, and he moves in us, and in him we live and move and have our being. And when Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit, and he said that I'm going to go away and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, he's going to come to you. And Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as a river that would be a living river, a flowing river, an active river gushing up out of our heart. Out of our heart, flowing out of our heart in and through our lives. And this he was speaking about the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I know that we sometimes think of the Holy Spirit, and I don't know if we always get it right. Because sometimes we might say something like, look, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Yeah, but he's also a rushing, mighty, raging, scary river. Okay, he is. Of course, what we mean by a gentleman is he's not going to, you know, force himself on anybody. But he is worthy of hair standing up on the back of your head, too. He is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus speaks of him as a river, a rushing, mighty river who flows out of our hearts. And it's a life-giving river. And so I've been talking about this from John chapter 7, 37, the words of Jesus. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, that's the deal right there. Because there's an if. There's things that we want in our life, but there's an if. If you want this, then here's the deal. If anyone thirsts, everybody say thirst. If anyone thirsts, now if you don't thirst, this isn't for you. If you're not thirsty, if there's no thirst in you, well, then this isn't for you. But if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters or water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus says, out of his heart, out of her heart, will flow rivers of living water. Out of whose heart? She who is thirsty. He who is thirsty. He who comes to Jesus. Out of that person's heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, these rivers of living water are not religious. They're not instigated or instituted by us. This is kind of the God work in our life. I can't make rivers flow out of my heart. I just can't do it. I can be positive. I can be good. I can, but I can't make living rivers flow out of my heart. That's God. That's supernatural. That is a supernatural work of God in every one of us. We put our faith in the Lord and we trust him, and God does something miraculous and supernatural in us. And out of our heart, all of a sudden, rivers begin to flow of living water, living water. And this is not psychosomatic. This is not suggestive ideology. This is the supernatural. This is the work of God. This is His part. This is what God brings. This is what God does. What we do is yield. What we do is release. But I can't manufacture it. As a matter of fact, when Christians try to start manufacturing stuff, they get weird. And people say, oh, the Holy Spirit is weird. Well, He's a lot of things, but I think people are more weird than the Holy Spirit. But I'm not mad at anybody, are you? Because I have a lot of grace for people, and I pray people would have a lot of grace for me. And so we're talking about the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4:13, whoever drinks of this water, the water that you're pulling up out of the ground here, He says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst, but the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You could never make that happen, but Jesus promises that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens when we come to Him and when the Holy Spirit is in our life. So I've been talking about that for the last two Sunday nights, but tonight I want us to look at the Holy Spirit in another light. You know, he is described to us through Scripture in many analogies or allegories. We can talk about a dove. Now, that's different than a river. And yet there's something about understanding how the Holy Spirit is like a dove. But John the Baptist spoke of the Holy Spirit as a fire. Yeah. Now, we're talking about the same Holy Spirit. Jesus speaks of a river. We read about a dove that comes down. And there's other teachings that we could bring, and we will. That help us to grasp this beautiful person called the Holy Spirit. But John talks about the Holy Spirit as a fire. And in Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, John the Baptist answers saying, I baptize you with water, but He who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John says, I'm putting you here in the Jordan River. I'm baptizing you. I'm immersing you. He said, but there is one coming, and I'm not worthy to touch his sandal strap. This one will do the baptism for you, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. It's a wonderful thing, you know, we are baptized, John's baptizing, and now we have Christian baptism, and in Christian baptism, we are baptized into Jesus. And the Scriptures teach this, that when we baptize, which we'll be doing in a couple weeks, here in the waters, we're baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we are baptized into Christ. But John says, but there's a baptism that Christ Himself does, not the pastor, not the leader, but there's a baptism that Jesus Himself does. And He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. We get baptized in water, but Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire. And fire. In Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the blood stains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning. A spirit of burning. He will baptize you with fire. Isaiah talks about God cleaning and bringing renewal and revival in the land in the book of Isaiah. And it's by a spirit of burning. And then Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 49, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. The Message Bible says it like this. I've come to start a fire on this earth, how I wish it were blazing now. Yeah. This is what Jesus has come to do. He has come to start a fire on the earth, and I wish it were blazing now. So, for there to be a fire on this earth, there must first be a fire in our heart. If there's going to be the kind of revival that Isaiah is talking about, where the city is just, God just moves in and and then he cleanses and he changes and he does it with a spirit of burning. If there is going to be, and Jesus declares, I've come to bring fire to the earth. And he's not talking about, necessarily like we're talking the fires we get up here in the mountains and stuff like that, but a purging fire, a holy fire, a powerful fire from heaven. This kind of fire. And so somehow we as Christians need to lay hold of that fire and not just know that I have the Holy Spirit, but I have the Holy Spirit and fire. And what does it mean when we say, oh, I'm on fire for God? Or, you know, we in years, I know him. Man, that guy is really on fire for God. What does that mean? What does that look like? How does that happen in my life? How does my life really get on fire for God, that I'm burning for God? It's interesting because we see as a description, we see fire as a description of all three persons of the Trinity. Wow. Yeah, it's just really an amazing thing, really, because when we talk about God Almighty, the Lord God Almighty, Father God, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29, for our God is a consuming. Come on, that's not out of the Reader's Digest. That's out of the book of Hebrews. For our God is, so this nature of fire and God. And yet we also see in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. We're talking about Jesus. And then, when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, he fell like fire. Yeah. And so here we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Our God is a consuming fire. Jesus has eyes that are flames of fire, and the Holy Spirit fell with tongues of fire. And so we see this concept of fire in the entire Godhead, in the full Trinity of God. Fire. And so, how do we get fire in our hearts? How do we get fire in our hearts? How many know when your life is on fire, you live it differently than when it's not? How many know when a church is on fire, life is different than when it's not? How do we get our hearts on fire? Well, we know by science that fire has to have three elements. There's three elements for fire. If you can put these three elements together, you'll have a fire. And of course, we're talking about oxygen, we're talking about heat, and we're talking about fuel. If all three of those things are in the same place, how many know it only takes a spark? Yeah. It just takes a spark, and there will be a fire. Now, it's interesting because anyone here who works as a firefighter, who's been part of a fire brigade, you'll understand that to put a fire out, all you need to do is get rid of one of those three things. Yeah. If you want to put a fire out, we'll smother it. They'll try to, smother a fire, or put a blanket over it, or put, a spray of powder or something like that. What are we doing? We're taking the oxygen out, because fire won't burn without oxygen. Or we'll take water, and we'll pour water on the fire. What are we doing? We're cooling. We're taking the heat. We're taking the heat out of the fire. And that's how we stop a fire. We take the heat. If we can stop the heat with water bombing or hoses or, whatever, fire trucks, that works too. Or if we can get the fuel, if we can get what's burning out of there, if we can pull it out, or even as firefighters will do nowadays, they will backburn. What are they doing? They're getting rid of the fuel so that by the time the fire gets there, there's nothing to burn. So if you want a heart on fire for God, tonight the Holy Spirit will provide two of these three things. He's here. He's the same Holy Spirit that was in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. He's the same Holy Spirit that we read about in the book of Acts, and he's here. And if you want a heart on fire for God tonight, the Holy Spirit is here right now, and he will provide two of those three things. The Holy Spirit will provide oxygen. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, there in that upper room when the Holy Spirit fell, it reads this, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind." Wind. "And it filled the entire house where they were sitting." The wind. You have to have that. You have to have that for there to be a fire. And the Holy Spirit, before the tongues of fire appeared, there was the oxygen. There was the wind. There was, as a matter of fact, the language of the Greek, the word for spirit, Holy Spirit, is the word pneuma. Pneuma. And that word, even today, we understand because we have something that's pneumatic or pneumonia. Or because the word pneuma literally means a current of air. It literally means a breath, a breeze. When I start a fire in the fireplace, which will probably happen pretty soon because this time of year, when it starts getting cold on Sunday nights, Carol and I will like to put a fire in the fireplace. And, a lot of times that fire, I'll put the log in and I'll put the kindling all around it. And then I do what every good Boy Scout does. I get a little fire starter and light it and let the, that's a good deal. The other way is just way too hard. But sometimes what I need to do to get that fire going, and as I do that, and then poof, and the fire is burning. The Holy Spirit is here tonight. The Holy Breath is here tonight. The Holy of God is here tonight. The breath of God is here tonight. The second thing the Holy Spirit brings tonight is heat. He brings heat. We've already seen that fire is a part of the nature of God. We already have heard from John the Baptist that Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire, heat, heat. He brings the heat. But what you must supply is the fuel. The oxygen and the heat, the Holy Spirit supplies. But if you want a fire in your heart, you've got to bring the fuel. And what is the fuel? The fuel is hunger for God. This is the fuel. Hunger for God. It's like Jesus said, whoever thirsts. And now we could say it this way, whoever hungers. When you get hunger for God in a room where there is heat and oxygen, it only takes a spark. So, look at this scene. The upper room. Some of us, just a few months ago, stood in the traditional site there near Mount Zion of the upper room. Now, we know that probably structure is only about 1,000 years old, so we know it's not the actual structure, but it's pretty close, people think, to where the actual upper room was. So, somewhere right near there. So, we've been in there, and it's a very interesting place. But here's the thought. Jesus healed multitudes. Multitudes. Thousands and thousands. Jesus spoke to great crowds. Thousands. Jesus multiplied loaves and fishes for thousands. He did it twice. For 3 years, how many people were walking the streets that had been blind, that had been lepers, that had been crippled, that had been, I mean, thousands. John the gospel writer, not John the Baptist, but John the gospel writer said this. He performed so many miracles. Now, he uses an exaggeration here, but he wants us to get this. He wants us to understand this. He said, he performed so many miracles that I reckon, he said, if they were all written down, the whole world couldn't contain the books. Yeah. Now, come on. I know he's exaggerating, but how many get the point? Yeah. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people had been under the ministry of Jesus, but there was only 120 in the upper room. Yeah. Hungry. Hungry. Oh, everybody had been touched by him. Everybody had been blessed by him. Everybody had the benefit of his ministry. Ah, Jesus, man, he's so cool. He's so good. Look what he did for me. Look what he did to my kids. Look what he did. But on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after that Passover, 50 days later, Jesus is ascended into heaven, risen from the dead. And who is it? Where is it that the Holy Spirit fire falls to strike something in the earth that will never be put out? It's in a small room with a group about this size.
That's right. Yep.
Who were hungry. They were. Everybody else was blessed. They had all been touched by the beauty and the ministry of Jesus. But these people were hungry. They had been in that upper room. They had been there pressing in. They had been in their longing. They had been in their yearning for the burning. They wanted that spirit of burning. And they were hungry. They had a desire for the fire. And everybody else was just glad to be a part. Can you see where I'm coming from? Do you want a revival? Do you want a fire of God in your heart? Well, here's the deal. As long as you can live without it, you will. As long as you can live without the fire of God burning in your heart, you will. Just like thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have been touched by Jesus live. But in that upper room, there was hunger. There was hunger for God. There was hunger to be a part of something amazing and wonderful and great. They brought the fuel. And the fire of God got on their life. The Holy Spirit is here tonight. His breath and breeze, the breeze of the pneuma of the Spirit of God is here tonight. The hot heat of His holiness and His presence is here tonight.
Yeah.
Is there any fuel here tonight? Is there any hunger in this place tonight for revival? Is there any passion for God here? Is there any yearning for that spirit of burning? Is there any desire for that spirit of fire? Is there any fuel for the heat and the oxygen of the Holy Spirit to combust on? David said, Simon, I'd like the team to come up. David said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, oh God. Hunger, hunger, hunger. I'm going to tell you, I cannot make you hungry for God, but I can tell you if you are hungry for God, you can have a revival. I can't make you hungry for God, but I can tell you if you have a hunger for God, you can have the fire of the Holy Spirit burning in your heart, but you can't have it if you're not hungry for God. Let's stand together. A white-tailed deer drinks from the creek. I want to drink God, deep draughts of God. Psalm 42:1, the Message Bible. David said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, will I seek. And even if everybody else is out seeking other things, my heart, O God, will seek your face. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his holy temple. God said through Jeremiah the prophet, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And David said, my soul followeth hard after God. I love that scripture. My soul followeth hard. So family, that's enough preaching. That's enough teaching. I can tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is here. And I can tell you right now, the breath of God is here. I can tell you right now, the heat of his holiness is here. All we need is somebody to